everyone. Welcome back in. It is hour number two of VSiN Bet Center on a Saturday evening. Hanging out with Josh Towers, former big league pitcher. I'm Ben Wilson. Thanks as well to our whole crew behind the scenes, Brad, Wyatt, JJ, and Nick. On this Saturday evening from our Circus Sports Studios off Fremont Street in downtown Las Vegas, let's update you on some MLB games in progress. It is a Saturday, which means full MLB card. And Josh, Brad Hand has managed to do the seemingly impossible, blow not one but two saves in the same game, gives up a bottom of the ninth inning run. Yeah, why would he do that? To make it a 2-2 game in a game in which Max Scherzer struck out 14 in 7 1/3. Nationals get a run in the top of the 10th, but they bring Hand back out, and he cannot keep the Yankees from scoring in the bottom of the 10th. So still a tie game, 3-3, one on, two out, bottom of the 10th. New pitcher into the game as well, as I believe that is Kyle Finnegan now in right now. As far as a live line in this spot, you are seeing at the moment, just getting this refreshed here, where the Yankees, they have taken it down for now, but I was seeing Yankees minus 120. Basically, and this was, as you watch at VSiN.com, minus 157 with the runner on a moment ago. I believe Finnegan is about to get out of it, though, and he does. DJ LeMahieu strikes out swinging. So we go to the 11th. Nationals will likely be about a minus 120 favorite with the at-bat. That's what we've been seeing in a lot of these in-game scenarios. Josh, interesting scenario, though, in Detroit, where what did I say before the last break? Don't blindly bet Minnesota just because Detroit has a historically bad offense. You can't trust this Twins bullpen in a 2-2 game. What happens?
They
give up runs.
They did, and I got some info for you.
Tyler Duffy, 3 runs in the bottom of the 7th. He gives up. 5-2 Detroit. Floor is yours.
What's the Twins season record? You got it up real quick? It's close.
What, 12-19?
Something like that, yeah. The bullpen is 1-10. Five saves only on the season.
I was right, 12-19.
Yeah, 5 saves. Yeah, 5 saves, 12 opportunities. I mean,
they will blow a quality start here by Jose Berríos, who was good today, 2 earned in 6 innings.
I mean, you got to keep the game where it is, the best of your ability, and that's the one thing they're not doing. You need a lot more consistency. My bullpen should not factor into that. I mean, it's 11 decisions out of how many games they've had on the season. They shouldn't be factoring in. Keep the game. If I'm losing, try to do your best to keep it there, give us an opportunity. Obviously, if we're winning, please keep the game there and give us an opportunity to help you defensively. Hold on to this. 1-10 is too many decisions where you're coming in with the lead and you're blowing it, and then the offense is trying to get it back, and then it's just not working. There has to be changes made there. Yeah, sometimes we can sit around long enough to right this ship, but there has to be some changes if not, because that tells you that your starters are doing a good job. That tells you that offensively you're doing a good job, and you have this opportunity to win games, and you're just not doing it. We're not even getting to the back end. That's the other thing. 5 saves, again, on the season, which is tied for fourth in baseball. The Nationals only have 3 saves.
And Nationals, again, they still might be able to get a save, but Brad Hand has already blown that a couple
There's
times
a
as
lot.
They go to the top of the 11th.
So, we're going to talk 4 opportunities as well before.
Wait, right.
This is different, but like, look at the Diamondbacks, 4 saves and 12 opportunities. The Reds, 5 out of 12. The Miami, 5 out of 14. The Twins, 5 out of 12, and the White Sox, 6 out of 13, and they got Liam Hendricks, who they spent a lot of money on. The Angels, who don't spend money on pitching, you need to, actually did go out and get Iglesias, who is also known for Cincinnati to blow saves, 6 out of 13. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's more than that, by the way. There's a lot going on to the back end of these teams' pitching that's not getting the door closed. And listen, the 8th inning guy, very important. The 7th inning guy, very important. But if your closer is not getting it done and doesn't have a track history, you're going to have to go and try some other people at some point, because there's way too many games for teams. These guys aren't hitting all season, Ben, and all of a sudden they just randomly hit in the 9th inning. It just tells you the pressure aspect of what it takes mentally to do a job when it's on the line and how hard it becomes in that regard.
And this will factor into our discussion we're going to have a little bit later in the show about futures and sort of seeing, all right, how much of a sample size do we have? What do we think about some of these teams? Josh trying to get a good look at as the A's just get a Circus Studio. We've got all our games on. You got to be kind of limber and able to move around, crane your neck to see different games right now. So we're going to talk about that as well as get into some of our previews for upcoming games as well. It is VSiN Bet Center on a Saturday evening, live from our Circus Sports Studios off Fremont Street in downtown Las Vegas. A couple quick updates of the games we have not mentioned yet, at least not mentioned recently, that have changes. It is now a 5-run seventh inning for the Detroit Tigers against the awful, disintegrating bullpen that is the Minnesota Twins. 7-2 now, Tigers bottom of the seventh. Live in-game total at 10.5. So if you somehow trust that these bullpens will prevent two more runs from scoring, I guess you can bet this. Minus 130 is the juice. Josh, you just saw the A's score. This has been an interesting back-and-forth game where the A's trying to hold off a late rally by the Rays. It was 3-0 Athletics with Frankie Montas on the mound, able to get a couple runs early off Tyler Glasnow. Rays don't cut it to a one-run game. Important insurance run for the second time we've seen the A's get an insurance run, as it is now 5-3 in the bottom of the eighth. Your in-game total was 7.5. That has just gone over, and right now we get another knock. This a double into the gap for Elvis Andrews. It is 6-3 A's as they're looking to take the first two in the series against Tampa Bay.
And the dude who broke the no-hitter up last night, I might be saying his name wrong, but Mike Brosseau, he's playing second base.
I think it's Mike Brosseau.
Go with that. Yeah. He came in to pinch hit, and he's playing first base. He was in the second base position because of the shift. But what he did was he got the ground ball with two outs, the pitcher's covering. He had time, and it was a sidearm throw. We're going to come on top. We're going to flip it. We're a little too far from flipping it. But as he fielded the ball in position, he never moved his feet. He never shuffled. He didn't do anything. He just fielded and then threw from that position, which caused his arm to get away from his body, and he made an errant throw on what would have been a routine 3-1 ground ball out of the inning. It's very frustrating. Again, your feet have got to be moving if you want to make a quality throw, no matter how short or how long it is. It helps with the finished product, and it helps, again, with the accuracy of your throw. So he doesn't move his feet at all from fielding the ball. Drops down sidearm to throw it, which I'm okay with, but he sells it. That's not the stuff that's going to make your manager very happy. That's not the stuff. The Ray style of baseball, very important with the fundamentals on how Kevin Cash and the boys teach it. And for him to make that play, very probably – unhappy people in that dugout shaking their heads. With that said, it's a frustrating, because I made a great pitch to Sean Murphy to get out of this inning, and now I hang my hat. I just gave up a run. It was a close game. It's 6-3 now. It was tied, right, at the time. Would have got us out of the inning.
It was 4-3.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're still right in that in the eighth inning, and now I'm frustrated. And so what do I do? As a pitcher, that's why it's a team game, I don't let it go before I get back to the mound. Emotionally, I'm probably still a little frustrated, and I'm doing my best, but I don't really let it go, and then I make a bad pitch kind of out of anger, out of frustration, and now I add it on to what could have been all prevented. It's tough, man. It's look at Glasnow on the bench. He's not happy either. It's a tough game, but we have to have a short-term memory. If I blow a game today as a bullpen, Ben, I got to let it go because I'm going to be out there again tomorrow. But again, why do we preach the fundamentals? Why do I preach move your feet? Why do I preach all these different things? Because I want to prevent very simple errors from that from happening. And that turned out to be a big one in this game for Tampa. And now Oakland's up 6-3.
You didn't have the under in this, did you?
I have nothing in this game. It's just, again, it's the fundamentals.
That is a rough way, because you lost an under. If you had the under, you lost on that play. It was 7.5, goes over on that play. Now 6-3 A's in the bottom of the eighth. And also the 7.5 also in Minnesota and Detroit, where you lose your under there thanks to a 5-run blow up by the bullpen. So exhibit number 678 of why I usually bet a lot of we put another tab.
And I like where you're at too, because again, you found something. You're finding something with your betting in the first five that has more consistency. You're taking away pressure innings with a lot of inexperience players overall. I would say pitching more so, coming into games in the innings where it gets a little bit more stressful. So experience becomes something very, very important. Hence, veteran bullpens make me a little bit calmer. Right. I would like to win a game. So I like your first five. Again, you found something.
I didn't play it here, but that's consistent. It's the principle of it.
It is.
You said
fundamentals, man. It bothers me. I know it's going to bother him. It's very simple. I could have just moved my feet. But I'm good. I understand it. I'll just flip it. No big deal. He probably makes that throw, obviously, more consistent. Mm-hmm. But why risk it in a situation like that?
Fundamentals.
Why did I need to?
Fundamentals. Short memory. Yeah. Those are big in baseball. They're also big in sports betting, too, Josh. You got to, stick to your
principles. I kind of like the longer memory in sports betting. You know, not because, like, oh, I need to get over that loss. But taking notes and understanding some of the things I do and why, because you can bet every day if you live here, I guess anywhere around the country with all the apps. And sometimes I place bets, and then I just get caught up in the outcome and maybe miss something that would lead to a mistake that I don't want to make again betting on a particular team or player or something. So I do like having a little bit better memory when it comes to that. But when it comes to baseball, I blew it today. Give me the ball tomorrow, I'll make up for it.
And yeah, you can make the same point. Betting, you always get. There's always a big card, especially on these Saturdays. And by the way, three games that also went over in the final couple of innings, thanks to bullpen play. We also saw one as the San Francisco Giants get a late run in a game they were already up comfortably. They win, but they go from 6-1 in the eighth up to 7-1, and that was a game that had a total of seven. So goes over in the final couple innings, and the Giants, that goes final. Kevin Gausman, just off of the COVID list, had side effects from his vaccine earlier in the week. Back in another loss for Joe Musgrove, who continues to really struggle since his no-hitter. 7-1 final as a +123 underdog. The Giants take the first two games of that series.
Let's talk about that real quick, too, because it goes back to your first five play. Mm-hmm. So this team is what now, 20-13?
The Giants are, yes.
The Giants are. Their bullpen is 8-8 with a 4.39. 12 saves and 21 opportunities. So they're playing close games, and they're not converting all of them. Imagine if they were even close on the conversion rate of that. That would be fantastic. So what does that say to me? Without watching them fully and having all the stats, is that if they're still 20-13 and they've blown 9 saves on the season, then that means that, and we know their starting pitching has been awesome. All these guys, the Gausmans, the Sanchez's, all these dudes have been fantastic, the Webs. That means they're up enough in the games to where they're still blowing 9 of 21 save opportunities, and that they're still 7 games above 500 at this point in first place. So that means that they must, and I don't have it, I could be wrong, their first five has got to be great betting on them. There has to be, because so they're giving up enough runs to make up for this.
Extremely low today. It was 3.5 today, which
is
about as low as
you'll
get.
First five. They have to be very successful first five.
They won the game today. They were up. Today was one. But the unders have been good as well for them too. It goes over today. Those three I mentioned, the first fives were still 1-1-1. So it wasn't like you could have just blindly bet these first fives. It doesn't always work in such a seamless process like that. But your point is well taken. Jake McGee has been awesome.
I'm just saying, like, overall. So, like, without diving in and looking at every game, just based loosely off these numbers, what I'm thinking is the Giants must be up like 5-1 all the time after five going in, and then they blow the lead. Now it's 5-5, and then they score kind of like yesterday, I think. They were up 4-0, gave up 4 runs immediately, and then hit a home run, I think, in the seventh and end up winning 5-4. That is what I'm thinking that's going on consistently with this team, just based off of what I'm seeing from the starters, from their record, and from the pen. Is yesterday might be a prime example of, they probably have a fantastic first five innings record for us against the spread, winning and losing what we're trying to do, right? And then the bullpen kind of gives it back a little bit, and then not enough to where it's out of hand, but tie the game, and then the Giants figure out how to score a run, and they win the game. So something's going on, but I got a feeling the first five for the Giants has been a great bet if you've been betting that so far this season.
Kevin Gausman as well backs up your point. 3-0, 1.97 ERA now for Kevin Gausman. So very impressive start. As always, let us know if you've got any bets right now you have coming into the Saturday night card. Hit us up on Twitter at VSIN Live. I have one play here coming into the night slate. This is just getting underway right now. I did take a first five, although it is not a total, Josh. I have first five backing Houston, Christian Javier and the Astros against the struggling Steven Matz and the Blue Jays. Curious your thoughts on Tampa Bay and the pitching staff in general. There's a lot to get into with that, but Matz specifically.
Are we talking about Toronto?
Yeah, and Steven Matz, and by the way, Christian Javier, this is just underway. He gets a clean top of the first. I have Houston -150 in the first five. They're about anywhere from -140 to 145 for the game, a total of 9. A little bit higher, and that's partly due to how resurgent this Houston offense has been now that they've gotten all their guys back off the COVID list, and with the struggles as well of Steven Matz, where his last three starts have really been brutal, 1-2, giving up 14 earned and 13 2/3 innings pitched. So we're seeing the regression in progress, Josh, after a fantastic start to the year for Matz, where he gave up just 3 earned and 18 and a third innings pitched. This was part of my handicap here, where I'm kind of fading Mats while continuing to back Javier, who is not allowed a run so far in three home starts this season. Let me first ask you about Mats. What have you made of a guy like him who looked so bad last year, seemed to have turned a corner at the start of this season, but has clearly fallen back into hard times once again now for Toronto?
Yeah, I'm seeing exactly who Steven Matz has been. He can be lights out, or he can look like he has no clue. And again, I'm trying to think of how I can explain it. When he's going good, whatever, let's just say he's downhill and he's living on the corners. And when he's going bad, he doesn't know how to make the adjustment to get back to that. It's like, oh, it's going bad. Well, I'm just going to continue to just throw this, and then we'll hope it works itself out. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. No worries. Now, I'm not saying that's what he says and thinks, but that's what I see. I don't have this pitch, so maybe I'm going to try to go to this pitch, or I'm going to – he doesn't seem to really want to make the adjustments he needs to make in game to see if something else will work. He just goes ahead and sticks with whatever he has at the time, and that's it. It is what it is. Yeah, 0-5 last year with that 10-year ERA. That's a little bit different. Luckily for him, the season was shortened, but now the Mets got to make a decision on what we're going to do, and they've seen him 11-10 the year before. But again, it's like this. It's really good, or it's kind of really bad. You know, he does go through those stretches where it's 15 innings and 15 runs, or he goes through stretches where it's 15 innings and 2 runs. So, and then you see in the 2018 season where he's 5-11, I can only control so much. He had a ERA at around 3.9, which means he's probably throwing pretty well. He just wasn't getting offensive support. The year before, he has a 6 ERA and he's 2-7. So I don't know what I'm going to get consistently from Steven Matz. What I do know is that he has good stuff. What I do know is that when you look at the analytics on Steven Matz, you go, oh, he's got really good stuff. So then people get excited. What I also know is that he's either never been taught how to pitch, or he has not been willing to learn how to pitch, because he has better stuff than his career numbers suggest. And so what do we do? I got to ask Steven Matz, what are you trying to accomplish in baseball? What are your goals, and can we work with it? If not, we're always going to get these inconsistencies with him, which, again, is a very tough person to bet.
And so when you're looking at this then to bet, I think you're then breaking it down on a matchup basis. So you look at it here, you're in a pitcher, anti-pitcher park, really hitter-friendly park at Minute Maid. You're going up against the Houston offense that I mentioned has been resurgent, and to back that up, over the last 2 weeks, they've had the best OPS in the AL, now third for the year, and that was after a really brutal hitting start where they had that 6-game losing streak at one point, swept at home by the Tigers, but they have really figured things out. Yuli Gurriel with a 4-for-4 game last night in a 10-4 win. So I combine that with Javier, who's not going deep in games, using a lot of pitches to get through usually about 5 innings in his starts. He's only gone more than 5 innings once this year in 5 starts, but fantastic at home, has not given up the run in the 17 innings so far in his home start. So I look at those two factors combined, and I feel like, look, I think 150 is a very fair price, but it's also a price that I want to attack, because I think this kind of also goes to the larger picture on Toronto. They've got some really big-name prospects pitching in AAA right now. I think the leash on Matz is pretty short, and you're only going to have so many opportunities in good matchups like this to go against him. That's why I, in this spot, went on the Houston side and laid the 150.
I'm 100% good with that. I mean, you gave me too many good numbers. One, you gave me a hot pitcher who's been consistent in Javier, and then you backed it up with they're at home, and his home numbers are fantastic. So there's something that he's doing at that place that makes him very comfortable, which is always nice. I like the way the Astros have swung the bat. You got, you know, Diaz hitting 286, followed by Bregman 310, and Alvarez 340, and Gurriel 342, and Correa 254, and I'm getting consistency through the middle of that lineup, right? They still have their falters at the bottom of the lineup, but they're trying to work through that, and they do make adjustments to the lineup. I do get nervous when they're crying about the fans in New York. So clearly they're rattled when, and their ears are in the stands a little bit more than they should, and it gets tough. They have to get over that. You know, they're
nice not to have to worry about it in the home games, especially when you're betting on them.
Yeah, they're getting distracted, and they're still playing fairly good baseball, and that's important. So those are conversations. They're doing good versus teams with a 500 record or better, which is always nice. You would have thought, though, maybe a little bit better than 8-7 home. So there's clearly somebody else at home who's not having that much success. But again, Steven Matz, inconsistencies, haven't pitched good lately. Javier has been good. They're back home. I like them in this
game. Boom. All right. Nothing.
Convinced.
By the way, a clean first inning for each pitcher. So your no-run first inning would cash. That was even money, I believe, actually. A slight dog to the yes, given the struggles of Steven Matz so far. Also, just circling back to the Giants point you were talking about earlier, our outstanding producer, J.J. Leonard, looked this up.
Oh, say something nice.
Giants 18-10-4 now after today. First five. That is second best in the major leagues.
Who's the best?
That would be the... J.J. just texted it to me. I think Chicago White Sox.
Sox, right.
Boom.
Again, and so
my
Liam Hendricks...
was, you know, slow on the jump.
Who's really good, but Liam was on that list of the stats as far as blown saves. I think they were like 6-13 or something like that, the White Sox, that is.
You do know what you're talking about, Josh. That's why.
Well, the numbers kind of help out a little bit if you can follow them right. That's good, though. That's nice. I mean, that's a lot of money right there.
That is, if you're betting that every day. Also, in the meet, while we're talking about all this, we have a walk-off in progress. We have a bases-loaded situation in a three-run game in the top of the ninth, and we have a pitcher who just went yard. We're going to tell you about all those things coming up next, Josh, as we continue right here on VSiN Bet Center. Coming up on Monday, VSiN brings you the English Premier League BetCast for the big match between Fulham and Burnley at 3 p.m. Eastern, presented by Bent River Sportsbook. VSiN EPL BetCast is the best way to keep up with the soccer betting action live during the matches. Join Nigel Seeley and Harry Simeu as they talk betting during the biggest match of the weekend. If you're new to in-play soccer betting, they'll show you the ropes and the smart plays of the day. Visit VSiN.com/EPL. Tune in at 3 p.m. Eastern on Monday afternoon. That's VSiN.com/EPL. Welcome back in. VSiN Bet Center. On a Saturday evening, hanging out with Josh Towers. If we ever do an MLB BetCast, Josh, you're going to be doing color for that. I can guarantee you that as the former big league pitcher. I'm Ben Wilson.
Let me give you a stat today.
Yeah?
First inning, yes. There's one going on right now. We still have one to play. But 13 games where the first inning is official already. First inning, yes. What do you think the record is?
Just on a whim, I'm going to go 9-4.
10-3.
Yeah.
I love it. It's
a
great bet.
Like we don't have 8 million TVs that were watching, but I did just see the White Sox put up a 5 spot in the first, so that was, I had a feeling you were going somewhere along that line. I also just saw the Phillies, who are suddenly the hottest team in baseball, just score a first inning run already, so, and two on with one out right
now.
That
was a home run too, so then they started a rally afterwards.
As the weather gets warmer,
in general, I mean, even with how bad baseball offensively has been this year, it's just, again, it's a settling factor, and it's the excitement, and then you get into rhythm a little bit, and it's just, I like it. And that's why you search those, man. You search, and, you know, whenever I see some, you know, outside of cores, you kind of cross out cores, and mm-hmm. that's just flipping a coin. But when the numbers suggest, and I know beating the book, you know, Gil has, they have their thing that they do, him and Jason, and they have their own philosophy. I like to look at the numbers, and when I see value on first inning yeses, I mean, it's a very common thing. It's a fun bet as well.
It's a quick bet. There's entertainment. You don't sit through a three-hour game.
Again, we're looking for consistency, and consistency, they do score. That's the one inning, man, I'm telling you. So it's just 10-3 today. We got some 7 for the White Sox now.
And so the two that just went final, we saw Gleyber Torres really the hero in the Bronx today. First ties the game in the bottom of the ninth. Blown save for Brad Hand, spoiling a 14 strikeout outing by Max Scherzer as a slight dog to Corey Kluber. Kluber was -123. Torres with the bases loaded, infield single off Tanner Rainey, and the Yankees get the win 4-3. This game does, if you had the under in this game and you saw this go, I mean, it was 2-1 in the bottom of the ninth. Again, we've seen so many of these just get blown open in extra innings. You somehow hung on for dear life and you won by the skin of your teeth, 4-3 in 11 innings as that goes final. The other game that had just gone final as well, we teed it up going to break. Lou Trevino got himself in quite the jam there, Josh, in the top of the ninth. 6-3 A's against Tampa Bay, but got Joey Wendell to ground out to Elvis Andrus to end the game. And the A's take the first two of the series with Frankie Montas today as a plus 124 favorite in this spot. Did get a little bit of money, came back down to plus 115, at least in a couple books here in town, including Circa, where we're at, right behind us, against Tyler Glasnow. So nice win there. The bullpen for Tampa really struggled late, and that game goes over as a result. So a couple of finals. And, sometimes, Josh, you know, you sweat out a lot of bets. Sometimes you get some easy winners. And if you bet the White Sox, that would appear to be an easy winner because seven runs are in.
We talked about that pen.
It is still that is a good point. But already we've had the first inning cycle here. Multiple singles, the Yoan Moncada double, the triple from Lurie Garcia, and a homer for Danny Mendick already. And Daniel Lynch goes two-thirds of an inning for the Royals. He is out. Seven zip White Sox. And this was a game where Lance Lynn and the Sox on the road did get the support up to minus 171 was the high watermark here at Circa, up from minus 156 in the overnight. Total of 9. You're almost there in the top of the first.
Now, I think you're kind of getting a deal on that line, actually. I mean, Lance Lynn is fantastic. He's been fantastic, too.
Easy to say when you're up 7-0, but I get your point.
Right.
Coming into the game today.
No, I mean, again, 3 or less in every game this year, then you're always going to have an opportunity to win. I mean, if you have enough innings and you're throwing quality starts, it's going to be fun. He's been great for a while. Kind of surprised that the Rangers let all these guys go, and he was one of them. On the flip side, Kansas City has lost 6 straight. You know, they're scuffling pretty bad right now. And so you got Lance Lynn, who's great. You got a team scuffling. You got Lynch on the mound, who we need to see more out of. I mean, this was, I get it, but I just think the line wasn't enough. I mean, Lynch didn't do well his first start. Now he didn't do well today. This
not what you want to see if you're
they're struggling bad.
Yeah, if you're Mike Matheny.
They were really good for a while.
Talk about easy bets. One, this first 5 was 4.5. There have been seven runs
for sitting, White Sox over.
There you go.
Keep going.
We're going to keep you updated. We'll also take a look at some of the PGA numbers after round 3 of the Wells Fargo. We'll get to that right after this here on VSiN Bet Center. VSiN.com has the latest lines and odds for every game on the board tonight. Track the line movements with live charts. Get estimated scores for every matchup and all the betting information you need to stay on top of the action. If you're looking at NBA, NHL, MLB, you can go to VSiN.com/all of those sports, NBA/NHL/MLB for more data as well. And you can also use our parlay calculator to figure out payouts and get all our betting 101 info, including definitions of the betting terms we use here on the Sports Betting Network. Start your day's sports betting research for free at VSiN.com. Kind of like the word fade, which we're using to describe Daniel Lynch, Josh.
Listen, I'm glad you said his name again. I was just griping to you.
7 runs in the first inning for the 2018 first-round pick for the Royals.
2018 first-round pick. So, again, what does that mean? That means in 2018 he goes from the draft to rookie ball in the Appalachian League. And then they sent him to low A ball in the Sally League because he is a college kid. Which is fair, and he did really well. He was 5-1 with a 1.58. The South Atlantic League, low A ball, is so far from the big leagues, it's not even funny. And I don't mean that in any disrespect. It is a fantastic league. It's great baseball. But again, it's not anywhere close to being ready for this level. But he did really good. So in 2019, let's send him to high A. That's a great next start. No, he goes back to rookie ball. And back to rookie ball. And then he goes to high A afterwards. He did good, 5-2 with the 3.10 in high A. But why did he start in rookie ball? Maybe he was hurt. I don't know. The bottom line is he has very limited time at the highest level he pitched at, which is high A ball. And then now he's ready for the major leagues because he was probably at that alternate site where we only had a certain amount of people before the minor league season started. And I don't have too many to choose from when there's injuries or anything else. No disrespect. I know he's 24 years old to Daniel Lynch, but Daniel Lynch, regardless of whether he's 24 or not out of college, when the highest level he pitched at was high A, is not ready for the major league level, by any means not ready. It is a drastic jump. These go back to some of the gripes that I gripe to you about, Ben, where I just think that how we're teaching the game, we're missing a good opportunity to teach it properly, and then we're rushing too many players to the league that should not be there, because this is a very advanced form of what we do, and it's the little things that it takes years to even understand before you get good at. So, you know, rushing a person like him to the big leagues because we have that alternate site. If they had minor league season to start the season, Mr. Daniel Lynch would not be in this situation now. So cool that he got to pitch in the big leagues, but not cool because he doesn't really understand why this is happening to him yet. He probably feels ready, but he's not. And so we have too many players in the league like this, and it does at some point, it messes with you mentally, and it does set you back because now you start to question yourself, because he was good at every level of his life until all of a sudden he got to Major League Baseball these last two starts. And then, I dominated last year. I dominated the year before. I dominated in college. Why am I getting roughed up like this? It's not, again, the separation between where he was and the major level is so hard, and it's so advanced. And I don't like to see, I've watched it when I came up with the Orioles, I don't like to see players rush to the big leagues and then their careers don't really turn out because they never got past that early hurdle of having a bad start and not understanding why. Because the mental side of it, way more important than the physical side of it. Obviously, he has good stuff.
And this is his second career start today. Mm-hmm. 3 earned, 4 hits, 4 walks against the Indians earlier in the week in 4 2/3. So not exactly a glowing major league debut, but he'll actually end up getting charged for 8 earned runs all in the top of the first 2/3 of an inning.
White Sox,
and it does explain, though, and we'll point this out, if he does get another start, it might be an auto go against. It was minus 156 on Lance Lynn this morning. Went up about 15 cents in favor of the White Sox hurler. And it is Chicago 8, Royals nothing after the top half of one inning. By the way, the bet I have, not looking good right now. Blue Jays 3, Astros nothing, as Kevin Biggio, there were some rumblings that he might be getting sent down to AAA if his struggles continued. Yeah, you go through all the numbers, Josh, and you see guys like that, very light hitting, and what does he do? Oh, yeah, 2-run homer off Christian Javier, and then back that up with Danny Jansen hitting 109 this year.
Oh, he just goes
deep.
He
takes Javier deep, so it's 3-0 top of the third. Come on, man, don't you know we got to bet on you, bro? Come on.
Does he not know that he... Wow, that was a close play on that replay in the Rangers game. Does he not know that he was pitching really good at home? That bought Kevin Biggio a couple more weeks.
Yeah, it bought him a couple weeks.
Yeah, he needed that too.
He'll be staying with the big club. So that is one game in action right now. The live number on that, Blue Jays minus 200 in game with a Astro number at plus 165. Your live total at 9.5. Little juice to the under.
Is that
at the moment?
Is that one of those things where you saw Biggio hitting as low as he is, and obviously Danny Jansen, and you're not going to waste too much, just, you know, kind of groove some fastballs, and whoops, I should have maybe not done that.
Maybe, but what's weird is Javier's been kind of a nibbler, and that's why it's weird. He's had good stuff, and he historically needs a lot of pitches. He's only gone through 5 innings once, but right now struggling, 3-0 in that spot. And by the way, to keep tabs on that, 5 is your first 5 under in that spot, so already 3 runs there in the top of the third inning.
What was the first 5 over in your Brew Crew?
It just went over. Two-run homer by Avi Garcia in a bullpen game there as they were taken on. It was originally the undecided pitcher, and it ended up being Daniel Castano, who gave up a home run already to Adrian Hauser, the pitcher. We talked about that earlier,
He's been in the rotation, but he was undecided today.
No, long relief guy for Castano. Had not pitched much this year, looking at it, just 13 1/3 innings and a few outings. But
I thought I had him for...
He might have made 3
outings and 3 starts.
Okay,
yeah.
So he has been kind of a spot. That's a good pickup by you.
That's
spot,
hard as
spot
well,
starter.
Though, by the way. Like, again, like the consistency of how you prepare... physically running gym, but also throwing in bullpen sessions as a starter. And yeah, 3 games, 3 starts. And so.
And this seemed like a pretty logical 16th, bounce
27.
Back.
So he's been in rotation for 3 starts. But yeah, I understand a lot about him because I didn't strike anybody out. He does not strike you out. I think he had 5 on the season. He had 12 last year in 30 innings. Castano, we have to be very good with location. We have to be willing to throw every pitch, and the ball better move. and he's just missing on the plate a little bit. He was up on that last home run, but it's hard when we live and die on control, which is where the fastball actually comes into play a little more, because guys don't expect you to challenge as much.
Hauser, Adrian Hauser, the starter for the Brewers, they closed only -117 as a favorite. It seems obvious. Now, 5-1 game,
offense, though, right?
Top of the fifth. Brewers on a 6-game losing streak, have really struggled with the bats, as you just alluded to, Josh. Right now in game, live total of 8.5. The current line, at least on a side, is down at a moment. 6 runs scored there in the top of the fifth. That's always, you know, that sidetrack a little bit. It's always,
we
you know,
do
we bring up the struggling young pitchers. No, you.
I'm all over the place. You got too many TVs. I'm all over the place. They got UFC behind me. We're everywhere.
We're going to talk UFC and maybe some boxing in our next hour.
Yeah.
We are watching a lot of, we have a lot of games going on. We want to touch on the PGA. We're going to do that this segment. We'll do it right after the break. As to what you should be betting on going into round 4 at Quail Hollow in the Wells Fargo Championship, we'll get to that update. Some more games we have not touched on in the big league next, right here on VSiN Bet Center. Indeed believes less is more. That's why they have powerful tools to help you source, screen, and hire quality people faster. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back. VSiN Bet Center, Saturday night, where all the fun is, here off Fremont Street in downtown Las Vegas at our Circus Sports Studios. Back with Josh Towers. He's getting ready to fire on some UFC bets. Maybe a little boxing. You missed them. We're watching so much baseball that you're missing out. We're going to get into that in our next hour. We're also going to circle back, update you on some of the major league games going on, because it is a busy card right now. 9 games in action as we speak. First, though, let's to get you caught up on a big golf tournament as we get ready for the PGA Championship coming up in a couple weeks from South Carolina. And we've got the Wells Fargo Championship, Josh, at Quail Hollow. 3rd round in the books. Maybe an unexpected leader. Keith Mitchell goes low today. Goes 5-under to get to 9-under for the tournament. A 2-shot lead over Rory McIlroy, seemingly back from the dead, and Gary Woodland at 7-under so far. Looking at the updated odds here, McIlroy is to be expected your odds-on favorite, +210, at least on the East Coast at DraftKings. Heath Mitchell, your leader, 2.5-1. Gary Woodland, 5.5-1. Josh, do you have any action this week? I have more been in the just observe, try to figure out who's in good form coming into the PGA Championship here in 2 weeks' time. So I did not make any bets this week. Were you on anything there?
No, this week I didn't. Again,
you just wanted to play, right? You were working on
I
your own
to
game.
Play. That's very important. Yeah, I definitely have to get out there and play, man. You got to wake up early to do it. It's fine. No, I mean, with the baseball going on and obviously the UFC, my betting interests were elsewhere, but I follow this all the time because I love it so much. Mitchell's been fantastic so far. You said it. 9-under, 5-under today. He's been great. And then Rory, he has been. It's fun when Rory gets hot, or he's just Rory, and he's, I mean, who knows what goes on in this man's life, because he's so famous all over the world, that to shut the world off and just focus on golf has got to be difficult at times. But when Rory's on, it is so fun to watch, because he has one of the prettiest swings ever, and just the golf is, I mean, every aspect of his game is fun. So I like to see Rory back. Gary Woodland, he's been struggling this year too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice when you see these guys pop up every now and again where they've been struggling. It shows you that, you know, maybe they are off to the side when we don't see them working on getting their game right. Gary's obviously a true veteran of the PGA Tour. He's a major winner and an all-around good dude. So we do root for him. He also spends a lot of time in Las Vegas at Rio Seco, so it's nice when you know and you're out there and you see him hitting. It's
a little humble brag there from Josh. You know,
it's fun to, yeah, but you want to root for those guys when you see them out there, you know, and you actually see them putting in work on the short game, which they all do. But you know, any Vegas connection, you know, I'm a fan of as well. Nicholson was in this. He had a rough one today, though. He went back
great first round, and then it has gone south for Phil, your first-round leader.
It seemed like today was a little bit tough.
Two over now for the tournament, 64, 75, 76.
Oh, wow.
And I'll say this, too. I know a lot of people are going to want to be on Rory McIlroy. It was a popular pick thanks to all the success he's had in his career at Quail Hollow.
Talk us out of it.
And was it 20-1 coming in? You see, as you watch on VSiN.com, final group with Keith Mitchell, the odds-on favorite. Mitchell, by the way, won 50-1 coming in. I'm still not sold on McIlroy.
Good number lately.
I'm still not sold on McIlroy, Josh. A guy who,
this tournament, or just where he's at golf-wise,
just in general.
Okay.
Had the nice his miss the cut prop at the Masters was plus 450,
okay,
which was a nice cash.
Let's cross him off at 210 then.
Well, let me just lay out the reasoning here. His strokes gained putting, and this is something we always hit on the sort of advanced metrics that have the greatest variance, especially when you're betting golf from round to round. McIlroy, his swing still, to me, he still is not totally there.
Okay.
And the numbers would support that. I mean, he was basically tournament average so far. If you look at his strokes gained and approach off the tee, has been his best metric so far, at least in the third round today. But his putting today, he gained over 3 strokes on the field.
That's huge.
And a guy who has been, really, he hasn't really given himself looks throughout this current drought and his current lack of form of actually making putts because he's been so wayward off the tee. But having said that, I'm still not trusting that will hold up as we go into Sunday. His off the tee still, his driving game still hasn't been all that good. It's still been basically just over tournament average this week. Around the greens, he's been slightly below average. So really nothing has completely stood out to McIlroy. It's just he's been able to manage a very difficult course at Quail Hollow with the wind, the fact they've lengthened the course, shortened it from a par, at least the overall to par score from 72 to 71. I think his experience has gotten him in this spot. It would not surprise me if he won as a result of that, but I still don't think he's playing at a way that would warrant him being a pretty good favorite at plus 210, despite being 2 shots back here coming in. So I would not be playing him in this spot. That's my point.
Is the line... Okay, so we're suggesting that the line is not really based off of how well Roy has played coming into this or the season?
It's solely based on a historical trend at this course. Plus...
For him. Or maybe your plus and my or are the same thing.
Yeah.
Or it's the people around him. It's Mitchell, it's Woodle, it's List.
That's
Cody
definitely,
Hall, it's Stallings,
that's definitely
it's Duffner, right? So we have a lot of guys, you know, Hovland's in there, but he's still very young. Patrick Reed would be the biggest name with consistency, but he's 5 back answer. So we have a lot of names surrounding it. We got Keith Mitchell and can he hold on at a tough course? Gary Woodland has not been playing very good. Luke List has been good. And then, again, so we have numbers surrounding. So, I mean, that's great discussion, right? Because Rory is Rory. Track history, we know how good he is. But, again, we watch sports all day, and we talk about how have you been playing lately, the Wizards, right? And that factors in a lot. So who do you feel comfortable with? If you were to make a play tomorrow, do you feel comfortable with Mitchell with a 2-stroke lead? Do you like how Woodland has been playing, even though he hasn't been playing that good this year? List has been pretty consistent. Are you comfortable? Like, what do you think? And is 4 too far for Patrick Reed and some of those guys?
Yeah, I would say if there was a guy I would take a flyer on, Hovland did not make any putts today.
Okay.
And he is 5 back at 4 under, 14-1 right now. On the East Coast, you can bet, will these guys in tournament finish top 10? Hovland's minus 137 at T7. I would actually, that's the one bet I think I would actually play. As far as Mitchell, look, he held off in the 2019 Honda Classic. He held off Ricky Fowler and Brooks Koepka when those two were as in form as you could possibly see. Now, that was obviously not a major tournament, but this is sort of comparable as far as good course, tough course to win at.
Yeah.
He was 9 under in a 1-stroke win at the Honda Classic a couple of years ago in the West Coast swing. So even though he hasn't done much in the majors, Keith Mitchell, like I mentioned, 150-1, I actually think he has enough mental fortitude here to hang on with the 2-shot lead. It'll be interesting to see his, you know, overall, you look at his play for the tournament, he's been fantastic off the tee and tee to green, which is what you really need at a course like this that is so demanding with the wind the way it is. But he hasn't gained a ton of strokes on the putting green. He's actually been below tournament average around the green. So I actually do think Keith Mitchell can go ahead and win this thing. He wearing the visor and all. I know the visors, you know, weird to see the visor-wearing guys actually win these events on the tour. not many of them around Josh, but that's actually kind of how I'm leaning at least. And I'm not sure if you see anything different in what you've seen out of Rory, but I will believe it when I see it approach with him.
Well, again, and then sometimes there's just courses that you just play better at that you're comfortable at, right? So I'm just going back to past results from like the past couple of years, and there's names on this list. T16 for Rory, 2018. Patrick Reed's on this list, finished 8th that year. Luke List finished 9th that year.
He is solo 4th right now.
So right, and good... then you creep back into 2019. Yeah. Max Homa won it, but Duffner's on the list again with a T4. Rory's on the list with a T8. Mitchell tied for 8 as well. So some of these guys who are on there now have been on there in the past, the last couple of years, and are comfortable with this course. So then that kind of, for me, offsets a little bit that, you know, Mitchell's been down this road playing this course and playing it well with the top 8. And then Rory's been on that list a few times again. So now a course that he knows and likes better, regardless of how he's playing. Luke List as well. So just based off of that limited information, I mean, if there is a guy that's 5 back that can do it, given history, it is Patrick Reed or Duffner on this course. But now you're adding Mitchell and Rory and List of 3 guys that are 9, 7, and 6 who also have had past success the last few years at this tournament. And so that makes it harder for those guys at 4. So now we go back and look at this, and yeah, those are my 3 then. It would be Mitchell, Rory, and List. And we look at the numbers in tomorrow and see if what makes sense betting-wise.
And so, again, McIlroy plus 210, Mitchell 2.5 to 1. You mentioned List. We've not touched on him. 12 to 1, as you see, via DraftKings. That would be a fun bet. That'd be a little off the board. And I don't think many people would be taking that, but that would be a fun bet coming in. So we'll see how that plays out. You will be, Josh, it'll be you, Jeff Parles, Greg Peterson tomorrow. A little Mother's Day edition of Bet Center as this tournament wraps up. So it'll be very fun to watch that. As we also update you on a busy Saturday night in the MLB, one game has just gone final while we were talking about all the golf. The bullpen issues continue for the Minnesota Twins as they give up a 5 spot in the bottom of the 7th. Waste a very good outing by Jose Berríos and fall 7-3 to the Tigers in a game where Minnesota was pretty heavily favored, as high as minus 185 across town at the South Point, where our other VSiN studio is. That total goes over thanks to the 5 spot in the 7th, over 7.5 in the Twins' early season struggles. Now 12-20, Josh. Continue. And by the way, the bet I have, Astros first 5, just crumple up that ticket and burn it, because it is now 5-0 Blue Jays in the top of the 3rd. And the great start to the year for Christian Javier coming to a screeching halt.
It's everything. I mean, in 3 innings, we have 3 walks, which is never good. So he's got no control or trust. Then we got 2 home runs. So when he is coming to the zone, he's leaving it up and he doesn't have belief in his pitches. It's kind of like a double negative for now for him. He's probably out of the game. Don't crumble the ticket just yet. There's still a lot of baseball.
I mean, it's on my phone, so I would have to burn my phone, and I don't want to do that yet. Mm-hmm. If you think that Steven Matz, his struggles will eventually come into form, 5 total, 11.5, little juice to the over. So if you buy that, you might want to look at the over. I will not do that here, though. I just cut my losses at this point. We've got another hour coming up. VSiN Bet Center, we're going to talk some UFC, update the NBA, look at MLB futures as well in our next hour. Stick with us right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.